But there was a ton of Amish people at the hotel. So I'm sitting there and I'm wearing a black two-piece and I'm sitting there with my book and my drink and, you know, just doing my thing, getting my suntan. And the Amish kids start like filtering into the pool and their parents. And up until this point, like they've been walking around but not in the pool.
Right.
Oh my gosh, over the course of like 15 minutes, there's like 15 people dressed in traditional Amish clothes. So the women, their sleeves.
So they're bathing suits.
They were not wearing bathing suits. They were just wearing regular clothes. They were wearing their Amish clothes.
Welcome to Line Voice. We are your hosts, Sarah and Aaron Sanchez. We created this show designed to inspire, educate, and encourage you on your path to wellness. This show's purpose is to help you put the puzzle pieces of healing into place. Join us as we interview other warriors and discuss how fighting is a mindset, healing consists of choices, and living is the outcome.
Wishing your doctors could communicate and come up with a cohesive plan specific to your medical needs and genetics? At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach, giving you the opportunity to heal. In addition to a commitment of providing radical love and care for their patients, they are strategically located in sunny Arizona because Arizona offers the best integrative medical laws in the country. Call today to speak with one of their patient care coordinators. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Line Voice thanks Invita Medical for the continued support. Please reach them at 1-866-830-4576. Hey, everybody. We really want to tell you about something that has changed our life.
Yes, our Kangen water machine has absolutely been a game changer.
Absolutely. We had such a great response from episode
64. Episode 64 goes into the details, if you have not listened to it, as far as why it's been so helpful and what it does. And basically, it's alkaline water, but it's also antioxidant rich. So, 2 glasses of fresh water is equivalent to 5 pounds of blueberries, and it has been radical for us as a household.
Yeah, there's so many more uses. We had to do a whole episode on it. But basically, go to myfreewaterstore.com to find out more information directly. Go to episode 64, where you can actually hear Wade Holder talk about all the different applications and benefits from it. And then when you are ready to purchase this machine, we are now distributors. So when you're ready, you call me at 505-681-1770. And there is financing available. If it wasn't for their financing options, we wouldn't have a machine. Call me. We'll talk through some of those options. And this is going to be a huge benefit to your life.
Yes, it is. And we will be talking extensively over this next year, even about fasting and how powerful fasting can be with alkaline water.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Water is key, people.
Change your water, change your life.
Yep. Welcome, Line Voice listeners. We are back, and I am happy to say that I have my beautiful wife, Sarah, with me today. Back from treatment.
Yep.
In Phoenix, Arizona. And I know it's been a few months since we've been on the mic.
Together, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it's hard to do a podcast and go through treatment. And we're going to tell you all about that in this episode. So today, we've changed. I don't know if you've been listening to Line Voice, you've heard us change our format a little bit. For a while, we were doing longer episodes and then we did some short ones. But one thing we've kept consistent is fight, heal, live. Fighting being a mindset, healing being, that's your cue.
Healing consists of choices.
We're rusty. We haven't been on the mic. Let's start again. Fighting being a mindset.
Healing consists of choices.
And living being the outcome.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to basically talk about, the fight, heal, live that we did We both did, I guess. I did my end, you did yours. It takes two people.
Oh, it takes a lot more than two people. It
takes a village to go through treatment. Yeah.
Yeah, I can say I sufficiently was lost in the land of treatment. Like, it's so funny because we keep everything on our, we have a family online calendar, and normally there's, you know, 3 to 7 things per day that have to get dealt with between kids' sports and hobbies and all, you know, all of life and work. And there has been like nothing on our calendar. Yeah. I got home from Arizona and there was nothing. It was blank.
I don't even know how we did that. Everybody's lives just stopped, I guess, for
ours did. Yeah.
For how long were you out there?
I hung out. I did okay the first month. And then after the first month, I got lost. It was a big blur.
It got very repetitive.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. And boring.
Ugh, so freaking boring. Boring in a weird way because you're like just waiting. You're just there.
You're busy bored.
You're busy being bored.
Because it's all day. It's nonstop.
And boredom isn't even the right word. No. It's not like there's not things to do. It's just long, man. Long days.
I'd say weeks. It's boring. But anyway. Yeah. Boring being sick and nauseated and poked and prodded and driven to the ER and having the paramedics come over.
Yeah, there's always exciting, ridiculous things that happen when you're going through treatment for Lyme because everything is unpredictable. And you know, it's funny too because if you've been following the show, you know that I went out to Invita back in 2013 and they gave me back my legs and my brain and all that stuff. And then getting reinfected, going back, I thought that because I had gone through it, in a sense, it would be easier. And it was to some extent. But knowing that something's going to be hard doesn't mean you still have to go through it. And to some extent, it was harder than I thought.
I don't think it made it easier.
It didn't make it easier, no. Having already been through it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, following the fight, heal, live format, let's go through our fighting mindsets, some of the mindsets that we had. And you were actually encouraged by Dr. Lim.
Yeah, doctor.
That was one of the first, I remember you calling me from Phoenix saying, I talked to Dr. Lim, super encouraging. Tell us more.
Yeah, they have a whole team of doctors. Most of them are naturopaths. She's not. She's an MD, but she's been practicing medicine for 38 plus years. She's this little tiny Asian firecracker woman who is like.
Does she have an accent as well? Like a
Asian accent? I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Go ahead.
But, you know, my first session with her, because you see different doctors throughout different weeks and different physicians do different things, but her whole thing was on mindset. And she was just telling me, like, this is all about mindset. You need to clear your mind and give yourself space to heal and rest and all this stuff. And I was like cracking up because I was like, we say the same thing on the podcast. Like, I've said these same words. And when she was saying them to me, I think it was actually like the second week into treatment. And one of my major symptoms that I've been dealing with this year is my heart will just start racing and my blood pressure goes real high. And it's kind of this ongoing thing that I've had issues with. And it's actually gotten a lot better since I finished treatment. But during those first couple of weeks, I was still trying to do conference calls and we had other interviews scheduled and I had other work that I still needed to do and was trying to do.
Yeah.
And my heart rate was just through the roof. Like I couldn't shut it off.
It was pretty early that we were realizing that this is not going to work.
Yeah.
That level that you were at of trying to do everything just wasn't going to work. It was too much.
Yeah. I mean, because you go in, every morning you go in, they take your vitals. And so they're like, oh, did you check your emails before you came in?
Yeah. They knew when.
They would know.
Did you talk to your husband before you came in? Yeah.
So the mental part of like trying to block out all of life I don't know if block out is the right word, but.
Set aside.
you really do have to set aside so much.
You can't carry it. There's just no way you can go through treatment, carry that load, and carry the load of an already hectic life.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's a thing. We've talked about this. There are people going through crazy things when they're going through treatment. Like, your life doesn't stop. It gets exponentially more complicated when you have this long ongoing illness.
Yeah.
And we felt that.
Yeah. And I'd say we are a stable couple. And it made us as a couple very unstable. I mean, not that we were going to break up, but like it was a hard time that us as a couple went through. It really was.
Well, and I think for you, for me, it wasn't as hard because I had this whole new space and new people and new everything. My daily routine was completely different for 10 weeks than it normally is. Whereas you were still here dealing with all the dailiness. And my mom always tells
you,
without me.
Yeah.
And it's no joke trying to keep this not-for-profit ship called our household running and operating. And it takes more than one person. And I have not been anywhere near my best. So you've carried a heavy load over the last year. And it's just working through that stuff. And
yeah.
What? I just kept thinking of that Santa Clarita diet movie where they're screaming at each other and he's like, it's not you. I'm not frustrated at you. It's just the circumstances. Yeah. We look at each other and be like, I'm not frustrated with you. It's just the circumstances.
Yeah, we have to tell each other because we're so frustrated by the circumstances that you're about to lose. And it's hard not to let that bleed on to the other person. You know, that it's super hard to deal with that kind of frustrating anger and unfairness.
And I think for you, like, you've learned that it's okay for you to have those emotions. I think that's something that you didn't have last time, 6 years ago, when I went through treatment.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I would still have those emotions and then couldn't forgive myself for having those emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you don't deal with that as much.
No, I just lose my top and let everybody know. No, I don't do that.
Well, I feel like the one thing that did come, you know, we knew 6 years ago when I went through treatment, like, it was just so hard for Aaron to work and have the kids. Like, we knew at that point, like, now that we have this chronic illness in our household and we have a label and we know what it's going to be like, we had to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've done over the last 4 years is prepared for the fact that, okay, what if I do go out of remission? What if I do go downhill? The house can't stop functioning. The company can't stop running. Things have to keep going. And we're in a lot better position than we were 6 years ago to meet everyone's needs and to keep things going. And part of that has been us working from home.
Yeah.
Made a huge difference.
Yeah, it made it a lot easier.
Yeah. So that's us, but let's talk about what I was doing over at Amita.
Yes.
Because we get so many calls from people who want to know an overview. So that's really what this episode is about, is an overview of what you can expect, because I've had this conversation so many times.
Yeah.
So when you go... And we're going to be talking a lot about even some of their updated testing, because the testing that they now have is about to be released, I think, in the next few weeks here.
The big announcement for Amita testing, which is super important, because if you're in the Lyme game for any time, you know how unreliable the testing is. There has not been a universal test that accurately diagnoses Lyme.
And you can, well, it quantifies it too. So you know exactly what your bacteria levels are and what infections are giving you the most trouble.
Right.
So to me, it's just this huge game changer that I think, you know, as it unfolds over the next few years, doesn't always mean you can figure out how to eliminate every symptom, but at least you know what you're actually dealing with. So every person who goes in, gets assigned a patient care coordinator. And that person is your go-between you, the front-end staff, the physicians, because certain physicians you see on certain weeks, and if you need refills, they really coordinate everything. And
right. They're your point of entry.
Yes.
They're going to have questions for you. In fact, upcoming shows, we're going to have one of the patient coordinators come on to the show and tell some of the things that they've seen firsthand.
Yeah, anyway. Samantha's going to be on here in a few weeks. But, you know, they just do a really good job of, I noticed even from 6 years ago, they're on top of things. There's so many staff there that are making sure that you have what you need, that you have the right supplements, that your labs are in order. It's
yeah. They're impressive. I felt relief knowing that they were there. One of the times I came out to visit, and I remember it from before as
yeah.
well. But as well as on this one, I remember going back and just thinking, wow, they're really taking care of her. They're concerned with her. They ask about the weekend and they want to know about if you had any hiccups during the weekend. How was your health? And they're in your corner. They're definitely in your corner, fighting with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things that did come up was I just dealt with a ton of PTSD being back there.
Yeah.
Like the emotional weight of seeing other patients suffering,
mm-hmm.
the weight of, you know, some of these patients I've talked to over the phone over several months and stuff, people who are considering going out there. So I, you know them, you're connected to them. And then when they're suffering and hurting, it's just an emotional experience. And I had to kind of really try to separate myself just for it not to hurt as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the PTSD, I think, was remarkable. I think it was unexpected. I think for me as well.
Yeah, the emotional weight of going through this whole thing, but that's been the case with this whole reinfection.
I don't know why we thought that the second time through it wouldn't be there, but it definitely was there.
Wishful thinking, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So the mindset part of things, you know, it's just true. It comes in so many layers. You can be like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm prepared to take oral antibiotics, you know, for the next year or whatever. And then that changes. And then you're like, oh, okay, I need to be prepared to go out to treatment. And then you adjust and you deal with that. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I have to adjust and deal with being in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional, psychological side is just crazy.
Yeah.
it's hard.
It's worth talking about because I don't think, you know, even us, we didn't give it credit. And the emotional side of it really played a big part into your whole treatment. I feel like even for our journey in the beginning, we struggled. Towards the end, we had more of an emotional boundaries, I think, set up. And it took a few weeks to kind of work it out. Those first few weeks that you were there, you were learning how to relax, learning how to just be at treatment and not be everywhere. So on the heal part, let's talk more about the treatment itself, the housing that we picked. I think we talked about this on one of the episodes.
Yeah, healing always consists of choices, and it just kind of seems like it takes a certain combination of people choosing something that works for them. And
I think the housing, that was something that you and I really went back and forth on, because we had an option. We had a free option. The lady was, we're going to be staying in a guest bedroom. She would be 60 minutes away, 50 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the driving, and, you know, if you're going to be out there by yourself, after treatment, you usually couldn't drive.
Well, and that's the thing. So the treatments titrate up, so they're easier at the beginning than they are at the mm-hmm. end, and that was very true for me.
Keeps you at a consistent, yucky feeling the entire time.
I definitely had my harder treatments at the end.
Yeah.
And so for me, since I was out there by myself, it's just all consuming to kind of be there in a sense. I was really there like 11 to 5 pretty yeah. consistently.
And then in the morning you did other protocols too. So you were up early.
Yeah, you're supposed to do a coffee enema. You're supposed yeah. to do a detox bath every day. You're supposed to, you know, obviously all your supplements and stuff. So it's a full-time
yeah.
gig.
All day.
All day. And then you know, prepping your food. And there were certain days, days you do IRAD where you have to bring in, where you have to bring in fruit after the treatment. And so it's just a, it's a lot of prep. It's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah.
Just to be there and do it.
But so, I mean, that's
why. Housing is a big thing for people because some people need shuttle. And this was, there was a ton of people staying at the Marriott that I, or the Hilton Marriott Town Suites. Place Marriott Suites that I stayed at.
It was close to the clinic as well, which was very helpful because, you know, Phoenix traffic, if you got to drive very far, you can be in traffic for a long time. So location was very key.
Yeah, I didn't want to drive 50 minutes in the hot Phoenix sun trying not to puke in the back of the car, in the car.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, so that was really important to us. And I think that would be a strong recommendation on our part, is to make sure if you're going to go out to treatment, make sure that you can make it as easy as possible. And this option of staying in a hotel instead of a free place was a harder option for us. We had to come up with that, but we knew that because of the amenities that it offered, it was the best way to get you through treatment. And we struggled with this decision the entire time. And I kept, no, we got to have a shuttle. And we kept staying with it. I'm so glad we did, because especially at the end.
Yeah, I needed a shuttle.
Yeah.
I needed a shuttle. There was a lot of days I couldn't drive after treatment. And then we'll get into it, and we're doing a whole nother episode on it. But once we started doing the ketamine treatments,
that got really
intense. You can't drive the day of a ketamine treatment.
No, and, you're high.
yeah, and I ended up doing 8 of those, so there was that going on as well.
Right.
So housing's a big deal, and there are places that offer private housing, and obviously Airbnb, it's pretty easy nowadays to figure that out.
Airbnb can be a good option because it can be just the same price, except you get a nicer house. And environment is key. We'll get into that in a minute. But environment, your environment, like we were saying earlier, your emotional environment is just as important as your physical environment.
Yeah. So some of the treatments that they had you do on a regular basis is ozone therapy, which is oxybosh. They take your blood out, they filter it, oxygenate it, put it back in.
And that can only, as far as I can understand, some of these procedures can only be done in Phoenix, in Arizona.
Some of them, but some oxybosh them. They do all over.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them can be done. They can't be done at as high of a high dosage.
Oh, okay.
So like if you have antibiotics going into a port or vitamin C or hydrogen peroxide, it's some states don't allow very high dosages.
Yeah.
So I have to tell my oxybosh story. I think I've said it on air, but I told it a bunch while I was out there. That the first time I went through treatment back in 2013, it was the last day of treatment, and my sister Jenny was taking care of me, and I was still really sick at that point. And so she never gets sick, and she never has to rest or anything. She's like,
yeah.
But she got really, really sick. So she's supposed
like
to be
like a cold virus or something?
Like a stomach bug.
Oh, okay.
So she was laid curling. I was on the recliner, and she was on the recliner next to me curled in a ball. And so the patient care coordinator said, hey, let's give you some fluids, like you're not doing well, blah, blah, blah. So they gave her the oxybosh, which after 45 minutes or whatever, she did oxybosh, which is oxygenating the blood. And then she did some vitamin C bag. And so here she'd been running to the bathroom and puking all day. And after a couple hours of then IV, she stands up and she goes, oxybosh, and like puts her fist in the air like she was like back to normal and like feeling like a normal human being.
Nice.
So every time I did the oxybosh, which was pretty much every day, I would always sing the oxybosh song in my head. And to me, I just get energy anytime I do an oxybosh, and it was so nice, like just having access to all the IVs and stuff. You just, my eyes were so clear and white, and
yeah, it was within the first 2 weeks that we started to notice physical changes in you.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool, and I noticed it too, even in your weight gain. You had lost and had a lot of atrophy before you got there.
Atrophy. I've regained some collagen and some muscle, and
yeah, I started. I mean, yeah.
So some of the other therapies that they had you do on a regular basis was the Beamer PEMF mat.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that is a normal part of their protocols. Because people ask, like, what exactly are they doing? And I feel like the reality is they're doing a lot of adjunct protocols that...
Yeah, they're doing a lot of different protocols. So that was a hard question. People would ask and write us to say, well, what's she doing? And they're like, well, there's a whole list.
Yeah, and some people don't like that. Some people are like, well, how do you know what's actually working if you are doing everything? And I don't know how to answer that. For me, that was just what worked for me last time. And
I think at the end of the day, you're watching people walk out healed or feeling better on the road to remission. That's what matters.
Right.
Proof's in the pudding, baby. Do it all. You got to throw everything at it.
Which, you know, is hard economically.
And it is.
That's not always the best thing to do.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, you just have to come at this with... For me, it worked well just to inundate my body with a ton of supplements, and my body responded really well, and not everybody does. I mean, that's just the reality, that there's some people who get there and want to start treatment, and their bodies are so sensitive that it's 4 weeks
before
they can even, like, start...
Rebuilding, yeah. Yeah.
Accepting the treatments and the antibiotics and all those different things. So everyone's different, but the... Beamer mat, I don't know. I never can tell if the mat does anything for me.
So what is the mat designed to do, babe?
Now, I specifically don't necessarily feel any different when I use the mat, but it is designed to boost your blood flow in microvessels, benefiting the body's cardiac system. And then it's also supposed to improve mental acuity.
Also, it's like a blood flow with helping your blood really flow through. Okay. And
we
know several people that have really attested to this and said that it's been very helpful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of people use the Beamer mat. And I've used a BioMat, which I love.
Similar?
It's similar. Yeah. It's different. But I really love the BioMat. And the BioMat is FDA approved to actually stop pain. I'm not sure about the Beamer mat, but it's something along those lines.
And they've had a lot of success with it at this clinic. People have really responded well to it. So it's always something that they've included in. And it was a consistent protocol for many people, seeming them having on those mats.
Yeah, for both Lyme and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one of the therapies that we did on a regular basis is the hydrogen peroxide IVs. And hydrogen peroxide is an antiviral therapy that is especially helpful for Lyme patients who are dealing with co-infections.
Yeah.
So, and Invita uses a special formula that enables it to pass through the blood-brain barrier better.
Yeah.
The one thing that they didn't have in the hydrogen peroxide this time was the DMSO, which is the ingredient that actually makes you smell like creamed corn.
But not just any creamed corn.
Terrible creamed corn.
Rotting, fermented.
It was so funny. There was a guy getting treated for cancer. And so I didn't get any of the DMSO in my hydrogen peroxide, but he was still getting it and he was getting treated for cancer. And he was cracking me up one day because he was talking about how at his office, he lives alone. And so he said he did not realize he smelled. And all his coworkers were opening their doors. And like for a whole week, there were doors being propped open continually. And then his son came over to visit and said, and he walked like out of the house and then back in and went, well, what is that smell? And the son was like, it's you, Dad. He's like, you smell like that. And he's like, what? So he had to write an email to his coworkers saying, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. And he goes, I hadn't even told him I was going through treatment. And
oh, no, they just thought he was like...
Oh, man.
Starting a corn still or something? I don't know. Goodness. Yeah. Well, we didn't have to do the DSMO treatments. I didn't mind that. But be prepared. You might have to do those treatments.
Yeah.
And they're... not pleasant, but none of this really is. It's not a vacation. It's a job. It's a definite work. Glutathione push. That was something that was really interesting. Tell me more about that.
So yeah, glutathione push is an antioxidant. It operates as an anti-inflammatory, helps increase the balance of hormones, and detoxes the liver. So that's a pretty standard.
Everybody gets that?
I don't know if everybody does, but I have heard of a lot of people getting
it.
You're
pretty special, so you did get more than... Anyway, let's see.
Oh, and then IRAD.
Dun, dun,
dun. I always talk about this, but it's amazing. IRAD is Invita's neurological repair program, and it stands for Insulin Receptor Antibiotic Delivery. And the benefits of it are, possible benefits are that it can, because they use insulin to lower your blood sugar, and the brain gets the sugars first when they actually put the antibiotics in your IV, it can cross the blood-brain barrier quicker.
Hmm.
And it potentiates the antibiotics to kill the infection. It penetrates the central nervous system. It helps infections.
And we definitely know, because you had a lot of struggles with neurological issues. You had the twitching, the seizures, a lot of tingling, all that. And the IRAD treatments, you almost noticed those immediately, how effective it was.
The first time I went through treatment, it was like a light switch was getting turned on every time I went through
Time, same thing?
And I feel like this time, it was about the fourth treatment that all of a sudden I was just thinking quicker, more clearly. And I actually felt like this time my primary symptoms have been dealing with kidney infection, recurring kidney infection, my heart racing, my blood pressure, but then also just cognitive dysfunction. And I felt like I didn't even fully understand how slow my brain was operating until it started operating more normally. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I just feel like I've just been like ADD all year.
So would you say that a common symptom that I hear about all the time is brain fog? So is IRAD really centering kind of on that brain fog issues?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For real, for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah. And IRAD is usually something that they do in the middle of the treatment. You do like 2 weeks of detox, then you do IRAD, and so for me, and once you get in there and do it, you're sitting there for about 3 hours at that time. You get up, you don't move, blah, blah, blah. So there was this one girl. You meet people who go out of remission and have to go back through, but there was a girl there who, this real sweet high school girl, and she had been through treatment 2 years prior, and she said she was so sick, she couldn't talk to anyone. She wore sunglasses the entire time because her and I were dialoguing with her mom, and she said the entire 2 months of treatment, she couldn't dialogue with anyone. And she had made huge improvements and felt like something had happened, and she was backsliding and had a lot more cognitive fatigue. So her and I were both going through it again for the second time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we would joke about it and like race to see who could get their insulin levels to drop the fastest. We weren't really racing, but we were pretending we were having fun. You just got to make things fun.
You have to. Better than crying the whole time.
But yeah, IRAD is just huge. I mean, I talk about it all the time. I don't know exactly what they're doing. And could you accomplish the same thing with just homeopathy? Maybe. Supposedly some people can. I don't know how to do it. But they've got it down because people consistently, one of the nurses there, she said, I see miracles every day because I see people walk out of here when they come in wheelchairs. And I'm like, yeah, not everybody gets out of a wheelchair, and especially not right away. When you go home, there is still so much healing to do. And even since I've been home, man, I've just slept.
Yeah.
I've just been sleeping a ton.
Does that lead us into ketamine treatments? We hadn't talked about that yet.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Do we think, like we said earlier, you're throwing a lot at it, but we do think that the ketamine treatments is really what help you regain some sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I did, it's not at Invita, but it's one of their outside therapies that they recommend.
Like colonics.
Yeah, like colonics and the lymph massages. And this is another one where they do ketamine treatments. And the ketamine can help with resetting the neurological system. So from what I understand, it kind of wipes it clean so that those synapses connections can connect properly. And it can be really helpful with tremors, insomnia, depression, overbreaking addiction, PTSD was another one that they said it was supposed to be really helpful with. And we have a whole episode coming up with Dr. Patel where he's going to go into the details on it. But it can also really help. It's for me, I'm not in pain, so I can't attest to this, but other people who were there really felt like it did help mitigate their pain.
Right. We heard that many times.
Right. And, but I also heard some people say they had gone through all 8 ketamine treatments and they couldn't tell if it had made any difference at all.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting one, because even at that, in that treatment protocol, you're there for 6-8 weeks, whatever it is, you're throwing everything at it. It's hard to say, you know, did the ketamine not work or not? But at the same time, there's so many people that are like us who are seeing, you know, these increased momentum. And there isn't one pill, one fix. It's all these things that incrementally get you further along.
That's
right?
True. And the other thing too, most of there were several people who I talked to at treatment who the ketamine treatments did help them sleep, reduce pain, reduce tremors. The people where I have heard the most, maybe it was helpful and maybe it wasn't, is actually people who are doing it outside of. So everyone at Invita who I talked to saw some level of difference.
Right.
Most of the people did. And not everyone, it's not recommended for everyone either. But
the doctors kind of help you figure out if it's going to be recommended for your protocol according to your own physical limitations, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. But within the Lyme community, I've spoken with a lot of people who have done ketamine treatments now, and I would say the benefits are, I can't tell if it's beneficial for them, but they're doing it as an adjunct therapy. Like they're taking supplements and then they're doing ketamine. Could ketamine, for me, like IRAD so stopped my pain, like that neurological pain, that bone pain that I'd had for so long, IRAD stopped that. Could ketamine treatment stop that level of pain? I have no idea. Like without all the other protocols with
it. And see, what's really encouraging is the doctors and patient care coordinators are all working with you as you go through this. So they ask you individually, how are the ketamine treatments? Is it working? Is it not? They make evaluations as you go. And that is such a thing that was so welcomed for us, is just to have that hands-on treatment from each doctor that you're not going to get in most places. You're going to get 15 minutes with your doctor and then they're off to see the next one. These doctors will sit for hours and talk to you and really problem solve. Not just, well, I don't know, and shake your head and send you off to the next. They problem solve. Okay, well, let's try this. Did that work? No, let's try this. And they really keep working you through. And that, for me, as the husband watching you go through treatment, that was so relieving. And so it gave me such a peace knowing that they were going to be really watching after your every need, especially when we've been ignored for so many years at every other doctor. Just that fact alone is so healing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've talked about even here in Colorado, as I'm trying to find care, the level of PTSD that I had, just like, I don't trust the medical community.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult for me. And I kept talking to them about it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go anywhere else, because I just, especially with Lyme. I mean, obviously, if it's something else, it would be different, but.
So another treatment that we really wanted to talk about was the exosome treatment.
Yes.
Exosomes. And this is exosomes.
Yeah.
I think that's how it said. We are going to give you our non-official medical definition summary.
I don't think they expect anything else from us.
Okay.
So a lot of people have talked about stem cell treatments.
And it has been proven very effective in treating Lyme. I've read several articles.
Yeah. I have read articles as well. And I don't know.
Here's the thing with Lyme.
I just know so many people who have gone to Germany to do stem cells and spent 20 grand. And did it help? I don't know.
We see where it helps some and it helps others. I mean, that's
the way the treatments are. But the exosome treatment is one, it's a little bit different than stem cells in the sense that exosomes are smaller, and where like stem cells are the machine that would go in to do the fixing or the repairing, exosomes are more the directing and the instructions. And they're smaller, so they can get into different...
They can get into smaller areas and break through barriers that normal can't. Yeah, and you have a lot less...
We're doing a horrible job describing this.
But. Well, okay, but just to give them an idea, if they've never heard of it, I never heard of exosome treatments. And don't worry, people, we're going to get the experts on, and they can actually do a decent job explaining it. But
The people want to know. It's supposed to really help more physical repairs start to take place. Versus it can have some neurological aspects. Neurological tissue could be repaired, but the exosomes, as far as I understand, are really designed to give you a lift as far as repairing your body physically.
Yeah. And this is a very new treatment. I think, didn't they say you were like the fifth or sixth person to go through it?
Yeah, they've only been doing it.
So they were very interested to see how it does for you. And like we were saying earlier, you never know. Some treatments work for one person and they don't for the other. And so that was an interesting one. I thought it was pretty unique the way they did it, delivering the instructions. It's like the next level of stem cell.
Yeah.
And it's very new. It's very new.
Yeah. And yeah, Dr. Dino Pratt and Sam are going to be on talking about that in the next few weeks. But and then one of the last like newer treatments that they implemented was something called apheresis.
Yes, this was super interesting. We'll post pictures on Lime Voice and in Facebook.
And there is a whole episode coming up based on this one thing. But apheresis was just like going through dialysis in a way.
Right.
And it's FDA approved to reduce cholesterol, triglycerides, remove arterial plaque, but it also can help remove heavy metals, neurotoxins, which of course you have after all the antibiotics are killing off everything. It can help reduce load infection and then help reduce circulating tumor cells. So it's really
interesting. And heavy metals. Did you say heavy metals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is always, that was a concern for you, especially as they had measured your blood and said that you had some high metals.
Yeah. My lead levels have been really high.
You did how many treatments? Five? Four?
Of apheresis? Yeah. I did two.
Two. Really? Yeah. Only
uh-huh.
two?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It's a 4-hour treatment and you go in and I had a port, so you don't have to have a port to do it, but they filter out all your blood. And
they circulate 1.5 times. They take out all of your blood.
1.5 times. Wow. Yeah. To have a successful session is anything over 50% if they filter out 50% of your blood. And I was able to filter through 1.5 times my whole
in record time.
Body weight.
I don't know. Yeah, you did good. But, I mean, that was something. That was something. I mean, when they hooked you up at first, and I was like, oh, they're literally taking your blood out.
They filter your blood and your plasma and then put it back in. It was fascinating to watch.
Even in the refuse bag, there was all these floating things that we didn't need. They got filtered, which is good. Some of them look like little jellyfish. They were explaining that they wanted to test them, but it was too hard to test.
It was too expensive to like test what it's actually pulling out.
Right.
But the...
Maybe somebody someday will do it.
The patient care coordinator is what I've been hearing about apheresis for 18 months at least. And there's only, I think, like 60 machines in the whole United States, and Invita has 4 of them.
4 or 5, yeah.
But... Really, they're using it. Some people do apheresis treatments if they have really, really high infection levels at the beginning. I did mine at the end. So they inundate your body with the antibiotics and then go in and clean it out. So it's supposed to be just really eliminating the amount of herxing that people have at the end of treatment.
The herxing.
And that was true for me. My herxing was drastically less this time. I was shaky. I would have periods of shakiness, but not of the utter fatigue that I experienced last time.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was quite an experience. I was just watching, and it was pretty cool to watch. Yeah.
So those are some of the choices and therapies that they had us doing pretty much 5-6 days a week. And obviously I'll still be talking about them in depth as I know more. But I want to just talk about the living component here for a couple of minutes, because I think one of the things that I realized is we know environment is huge.
Yeah.
But I feel like I kind of forgot to the full extent, because even we live in Woodland Park, Colorado, and it's beautiful and we're surrounded by aspen trees and nature, and we moved here on purpose. Because we've loved Colorado, but it's like nurtured our soul.
There's more nature. Yeah, we moved from a suburb where, you know, a desert suburb, so zero scaping, no greenery, lots of dirt.
Yeah, and we've lived in Woodland Park now for 2 years, and it's been very healing for me, both of us.
It's a calmer life for sure.
It's calm, it's quiet, it is soothing. You're surrounded by beauty. You know, we go on a nice quiet walk all the time. And
we have no commute, which is amazing. I mean, even to go to the grocery store is 3 miles away. And that can get kind of crazy during Sunday and because of all the traffic in town for everybody seeing Colorado. But that's as bad as it gets.
Well, and I love Scottsdale. At some point in our lives, we'll probably end up living in Scottsdale part-time because we love it. And
warm.
Keep going out there for treatment.
We
do love Scottsdale. But I living in the hotel for what ended up being 12 weeks, and I stayed at the hotel that was cheap and had the shuttle, or that was affordable and had the shuttle. And
affordable. It wasn't cheap.
It wasn't cheap. It was affordable. But the pool at this hotel was in the parking lot. Called it a parking lot pool.
Yeah.
And if I sat in one specific corner with my back to the parking lot and my earbuds in so I didn't hear, like, the traffic and the garbage truck and the leaf blowers and everything else, like, there was the illusion of calm and soothing. But there wasn't. There was no space to be, like, there was no place to be quiet or no place to have quiet.
Like
or,
we have here.
Like we have here all the time. And so finally, after the first 4 weeks, it was, you know, adrenaline and all sorts of stuff as far as
getting out there
and, okay, I'm in a hotel, not that big of a deal, make it work. And it was lovely only being in charge of myself.
Because we have kids, five kids.
We have five kids, and I lived by myself since I was 20 years old, and that was nice.
I'm not ashamed to admit it was nice to have my own room for 3 months. I mean, I'd much rather have you in it, but if we're going to say positive things, it was nice having my own room.
Yeah, it was nice not having to be a mom 24/7. Mm-hmm. Just be a patient for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, environment is huge. And there, it was hard living there. I think, honestly, it was easier in the first time I went out to treatment, we rented a two-bedroom apartment or two-bedroom house. And that was a lot easier for some reason.
And I don't think we mentioned this earlier, but one of the patient care coordinators actually mentioned to us, because we were talking about this topic, how important environment is and trying to keep it positive. And they were saying that they could tell, not concrete, but they could pretty much tell whether or not a person was going to do well at treatment based off of their home environment, based off of who was in their support system.
How cooperative people were.
Right.
Yeah.
And then even, and I think that very, very much plays into your environment. If you're staying, so we had talked about staying with some friends or the hotel. And I think staying with some friends would have been very welcome and they would have been very accommodating, but you're still in somebody else's house. It's still a different animal than at your own hotel room, where if you're not feeling well enough that day, you don't have to pick up your dirty clothes and not feel guilty about it.
Right.
And those things are, you know, you try to compare that versus the price. And too often we would disregard the convenience based off of the price. And I think that was an important thing for this is, yeah, we could have taken the cheaper option, but we wanted this treatment to work out. We wanted your environment to be in a place that would help you and promote your recovery.
And it did that by giving me the shuttle, but not necessarily by environment.
Right. And right. So you supplemented that. You brought pictures from home. You tried to make your environment as beautiful as you could.
Yeah. I brought my coffee mugs that I like and a bunch of positive plaques. Sign yeah. plaques and yeah, a bunch of family pictures I took off the wall and took them. And I, you know, I got to the point where I just could not sit in that hotel room. And I had to sit and rest after treatment, usually for an hour or two, because I just get real shaky before I make dinner and stuff. So I started sitting out by the pool. Mm-hmm. I would go in the morning, and even that was frustrating sometimes because it was
that's when all the gardeners are working. Yeah. And the deliveries are made. Which the delivery spot for all these big trucks was right behind where she would sit.
Right by the pool, yeah.
So you would literally have the beep, 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 and all that going on. It was kind of funny. But
it was nice being there, like, around all the other patients, because there were people there. There was a lot of Invita patients. There was...
The hotel staff was kind of accommodating to the, what do you call them, the medical tourists, if you will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were people who were there, you know, who had been traveling and they were stuck at the Scottsdale Hospital there just mm-hmm. dealing with stuff. So there's tons of people with ports and wheelchairs and whatnot.
Yeah, it was interesting. Which, should we talk about the other element of the Amish community?
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting thing.
It was.
I don't even know how. I mean, Amish don't use computers or anything like that.
Invita somehow has this. About a third of their patients are Amish or Mennonite or
the straw hats, the beards, the whole deal, the denim skirts down to the ankles, the whole deal. But it's amazing how many of them were coming in. It was remarkable that one third, and so, you know, you walk into the treatment center and there's 10 straw hats lined up at the front.
Right, I know.
I mean, if they could bring their buggies, you would have to put up a buggy cart out in the front, but they can't bring them to Phoenix. It's illegal to drive a buggy in Phoenix, I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of them I'm telling. They're like, no, we can't bring our buggies. They don't let us go on the streets in Phoenix. And I'm like, oh. You actually thought about that. Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was so odd. The Amish community is just a different... It was really interesting.
So it was so fascinating. I got... And I'll talk about it in upcoming episodes. I got to just pick their brains. Because certain Amish communities are more strict than others. And some don't allow electricity. And some don't allow internet. And some do. And so it was fascinating just getting to see...
But they allow treatment in Invita, too.
The ways that people... You know, different ways that people live. But Specifically, I had one of the funniest moments. I will forever remember this moment because it was just one of those, like, how did I get here? How is this my life at this moment? But I was sitting out by the pool. And I mean, that was basically my living room for about 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there were several families there. There was another couple there at Invita. He was getting treated for cancer, named Aaron and Sarah. And they had had several big family van load of full of family members come in town. And so it would ebb and flow. You know, some weekends there'd be a bunch of baseball kids sitting around the pool because they're all there for a baseball tournament. And then at other times it'd be patients sitting around the pool. And then, you know, just switching. But there was a ton of Amish people at the hotel. So I'm sitting there and I'm wearing a black two-piece and I'm sitting there with my book and my drink and, you know, just doing my thing, getting my suntan. And the Amish kids start like filtering into the pool and their parents. And up until this point, like they've been walking around, but not in the pool.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Over the course of like 15 minutes, there's like 15 people dressed in traditional Amish clothes. So the women, their sleeves.
So they're bathing suits.
They were not wearing bathing suits. They were just wearing regular clothes. They were wearing their Amish clothes and then just getting in the pool. And so like some of the women had full on, full length sleeves and dresses. And there was this little boy sitting on one of the little floaty donuts, you know, sitting there with his little Amish shorts and his little shirt and his little suspenders in the pool. It was the cutest thing ever. But it was just so funny. I felt very awkward sitting there in my bikini while these women were in their full length dresses floating around. I was like,
and it wasn't, it's not a string bikini either. I'd say it's a very flattering.
It's just a normal two piece. But I was like, why am I the one that feels weird right now?
I know. It's so odd.
I wanted to take a picture so badly, but I didn't want to be too. It was just the cutest little scene. I loved it. And they were all having a grand time and it didn't matter. And
but I think that their support system was huge. And I think that was important for them, for Aaron and Sarah.
They did. The Amish community did have a very good support system.
And I think that's one of the keys. I think for you out there who are getting ready to go to treatment is to let those know around you what you're doing. And I even with Sarah and I, we had an interaction with our family members at the beginning of it where we realized we hadn't fully explained what we were doing out in Invita. And they didn't fully get it. So I think it was important for us to be in communication with our support system to let them know the realities of what is happening. And I think that was an important part to recovery and important part for anyone going through recovery is to really have the best support system you can. It's hard. And it's hard to keep people around for that. I mean, I get it. But do the best you can because you need to arm yourself with every tool you can imagine, every tool you can think of.
To get
through it. I mean, it's a difficult process, this treatment.
You know, and too, one of the things that I just kept hearing over and over again, because I really enjoy getting to meet all the patients and different people, but the people who had the hardest time and people who, in a sense, stayed sickest the longest did not have a supportive home environment or spouse. And some of the spouses were supportive just in treatment and financially, but they weren't supportive in like following the diet. So like even that, you know, I had this really interesting conversation with this woman who she said, I think I've been sick my whole life. And she was in her 60s, late 60s. And she said, you know, she said, my husband's really supportive on the surface, but she said, you know, food isn't a priority to him. So she said, our house is just filled with candy and sugar and all this stuff. And it was a source of pain for her that, in a sense, she felt like he sabotaged. And, you know, everyone has to walk that journey alone. You have, in a sense, been supportive of me doing what I need to do, but weren't necessarily on board and implementing it yourself.
Right. Which is its own,
But which was, I learned long ago, I can't let other people control,
right?
Whether or not you're going to juice with me has nothing to do with whether or not I'm going to juice every day. But that's changed a lot too.
When I am joining you in this, I've become a stronger support system for you.
100%. And I feel that way this time versus last time 6 years ago. I felt when I came home, like I was on my own.
Yeah. And we knew that going in this time because I think that for the last 6 years, we've been talking on the mic, off the mic about our struggles with going through treatment. And we knew this, that we had to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Support wise. We had to be. And I didn't necessarily, I mean, I've tried enemas, but like, like I can't do everything. I can't do all the support, but no. I tried it. Okay. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to have an enema career. Yeah. Well, we're back. We're home. We made it through. Overall, treatment went well.
Treatment went well.
We got your tests back. They all your infections rate. That was actually when you got your first test while we were out there, and it showed all the infections. I think that was sobering for both of us.
Yeah.
That was important. That was an important moment where we realized how important what we're doing is. And then now your tests are good. We're looking good. You feel good.
Well, I think the really important thing too for me was like, based off the tests that I had, like my cell health and stuff is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're very healthy. I know you've been taking supplements and juicing and detoxing for 6 years because you're in really good health, but you're dealing with this large infection load. But they were all new infections. So, like, my most serious infection was chlamydia pneumonia last time, and my chlamydia pneumonia number hadn't moved at all.
Which so, just, and that just reaffirmed that you were reinfected and not relapsed.
Right, exactly.
For whatever that meant.
Yeah, I had new infections, new symptoms this whole time around. It's just been very different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to summarize, you're doing better now. We're home.
Feeling a lot better. I'm exponentially better. I mean, I feel...
You're very tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired too. We're both very tired from the whole experience.
I'm sleeping a lot, and I didn't sleep much over the last year, and sleep has been a hard thing for me for a long time. So I'm sleeping a lot, still with medication, but 10, 12 hours a day, and then I've taken a couple, like, four-hour naps, which is crazy.
Unheard of.
Yeah, I'd never do that.
Yeah.
I've laid down a couple times and woke up four hours later, and I'm like, what is happening?
Well, I guess that's it. Is there anything more we need to say about our treatment? We're back. We will talk in further detail. If you guys probably want to know more details about this stuff, feel free to contact us through Lyme Voice. And or Facebook, Lyme Voice as well.
Yep, I've been MIA off of social media, but I'm back on as of this week, so.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being with us today. We'll catch you next time.
For nearly two decades, Invita Medical Center has been leading the way with the latest in personalized treatment options designed for patients dealing with Lyme disease complex. At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach and the latest technology regarding treatment and testing at an unmatched, radical love and care environment for their patients. Call to speak to one of the patient care coordinators today to learn why hundreds of patients choose Invita Medical Center each year. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Disease is contrary to life. Therefore, wherever disease exists, life must also fight to exist.
Good job fighting, Lyme fighters. Keep it up. We'll see you next time.
Lyme Voice contains general information about medical conditions and treatments. The information is not advice and should not be treated as such. Okay, Lincoln?
Okay.
The medical information on Lyme Voice is provided as is without any representations, warranties, expressed or implied. Okay?
Okay.
Lyme Voice makes no representations or warranties in relation to the medical information on this podcast. You must not rely on the information on this podcast as an alternative to medical advice from your doctor or other professional health care provider. If you have any specific questions about your medical matter, you should consult your doctor or other professional health care provider. And for you consult your parents, okay?
Okay.
If you think you may be suffering from any medical condition, you should seek immediate medical attention. You should never delay seeking medical advice, disregard medical advice, or discontinue medical treatment because of information on this podcast. Got it, Lincoln?
Got it.